Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let's read it together. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever man sows, he will what?
Reap.
How many of y'all know you're doing some reaping? See, but God will turn it to the good if you let him. But he who sows will reap. And you know, we sow every day. A part of your life is sowing. You don't even realize that you're sowing when you're not sowing. But you're sowing. You're either sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the spirit. All day long. One or the other. And of course, we know that the enemy wants you to sow to the flesh, doesn't he? Let's keep going. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Three areas that the devil has access. When you sow to the flesh, three things he's got. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Do you understand that? So if the enemy can deceive you to sow in the flesh, he has access to you either to steal, kill, and destroy. And it always comes to pass. Always. Now, of course, the quicker you repent, the less it happens. If you wait 4 or 5 days to repent of something stupid that you sowed in the flesh, you're going to reap more. So you want to stop the enemy quickly. So when you do something stupid, you repent quick. Lord, forgive me. So it stops the enemy, doesn't it? Amen. Other than that, he'll wipe you out till he'll finally kill you, your family, and everyone else he can get to. He doesn't like you, you know. Do you understand? He doesn't like you. It's amazing how many people pet evil like a pet. Oh, hi. And they feed it. Don't pet it and don't feed it. Kill it. Hallelujah. There? Let's go. Now, he who sows to the Spirit will what? Of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How many of y'all want corruption? Well, I don't see any hands. What's the problem? How many of y'all want life? Praise God. Well, then you got to sow in the Spirit. It's really not that difficult. And you don't need a college degree to get this. Common sense. The whole thing is to be able to discern when you're sowing in the flesh or when you're sowing in the Spirit. Amen? Now, the enemy is always going to try to get you to sow in the flesh. That's the only way he can get to you. And if you keep getting snapped in that same trap every time, eventually, it's going to overtake you and destroy you. I mean, because the end result is what? Death. It's what? It's death. Make no place for the devil. Now, you got to understand, he makes his own place. How does he do that? By causing you to sow in the flesh. If he can get you to sow in the flesh, he has those three areas that get you. You know, so many people, like, they'll go, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and whatever, but they don't realize in some part of their life they're still sowing in the flesh. And the enemy's stealing everything that they think they're doing right, but the enemy is stealing everything. Why? Because there's still an open door where they're still sowing in the flesh. But Lord, I do this and Lord, I do that. He says, make no place for the devil. No, zero, nothing, nothing, no place for the devil. Let's go a little further. And let us not what? Grow weary in what? While doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Here's another problem. People lose heart. They give up. They play baby Huey.
I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted and when I wanted it today. I want it right now.
Those are the ones I want to give one of those big binkies to. You know, I'm going to order one of those huge binkies right in the mouth. Suck on this for a while, you know? And we can put on their bone head. This is the bone for the bone head. Suck on this. You know, it's amazing because, you know, the enemy wants to move you, cause you to be weary, give up. He says you're going to reap in due season as long as you don't give up, as long as you don't lose heart. So then you must understand that your heart is connected with your reaping. Good and bad. Good and bad. Now, there's an area that I want to discuss today because it is important that we get an understanding of this, because one of the things the Spirit begins to do is, remember, Jesus came to expose the devil. And without exposing the devil, you're going to be deceived. We know what Jesus has done. He said, I came to bring you a sword and not to bring peace into the world, but you a sword. It's amazing how many people's swords are getting dusty. They don't use it. Nobody does warfare. And I'm telling you, it's in my spirit, big time, that we've got a warfare like you've never warfared before. Or not only will you lose, but you'll lose your families. Because the flood is increasing even greater now. You have got to fight like you've never fought before, and you got to die like you've never died before. Or you'll be one of those who get washed up to the shore. Hello? Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We got to stop being baby Hueys. Take the binky out of your mouth and put the sword there. You know, everybody, it's amazing that, you know, it goes right back to the garden. You remember when Adam fell? Who did he blame? Eve. Who did Eve blame? The serpent. Everybody blames everybody for their stuff. It ain't going to work. But you don't know my circumstance. Your circumstance is not to affect you. You're to have dominion over circumstances. On every circumstance. The Bible says you don't belong to this world, so why do you want to get caught up in it? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. To God be the glory. You change your circumstance. If it's not changing, step out of it. Hello? It's real simple. And have fun with Daddy. But people want to get into circumstance that they can't overcome, and then the circumstance overcomes then. It's because pride.
I can do this.
You and I can't do anything without Him. And then there's people trying to go do things of God, but they're not abiding in Him. And then they're blaming God for not fulfilling His word. When He said the first thing, you abide in me, then I'll abide in you. Abide means submit, surrender, die. In every area. You will not make the promises of God be manifested in your life unless you die. Jesus did not fulfill the will of God without dying. And the ministry of death continues. And we have some teachings on that too. Ministry of death. Wonderful. You'll enjoy them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Is everybody there? Are y'all all right? Praise God. We're still here, so praise God. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. This is going to be an area where the enemy's going to be exposed. Exposure. Jesus came to expose the enemy, and so are we. And He's still exposing them. In verse 6, would you read it with me? With this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and who sows abundantly will also reap abundantly. Now that's good and bad, isn't it? Right? That's also good and bad, because there's a lot of people who are sowing abundantly into the flesh, and they're going to reap abundantly in the flesh. And there are those who are sowing abundantly in the Spirit, and they're going to reap abundantly in the Spirit. You know, there's some people who still haven't outrun their reaping yet. And there is a way you can outrun some of your reaping. Sow more into the Spirit. And you'll outrun the reaping due to you in the flesh. That's why praise and worship is important. That's why obedience is important. That's why speaking the word is important. Everybody got to understand this. The more you sow into the Spirit, the more you're going to outrun the reaping due to you. I mean, it's always trying to catch up to you. Yeah, you just keep sowing in the Spirit, and you outrun it. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things, and may have abundance for every good work. In other words, He's trying to get something to you. He's always trying to get something to you. Something beautiful, something wonderful, something that will assist you in your everyday walk and in your everyday life. But see, the thing is if you sow in the flesh and the devil steals it before you can even get it, he'll steal it. People wonder why they keep going around in cycles. They wonder why they're working 15, 20 hours a day and nothing's accomplishing. Everything is stolen. Why? Well, see, they seem to erase that time 2 days ago that they just sowed in the flesh and didn't repent. And justified, and justified, and justified. Finally, they got fed up because everything around them was falling apart and they got on their knees and repented. It's too late, man. You already lost it. Hello? Thank God you got on your knees and repented. At least you can now catch up. But you're going to do the reaping. See, and this is the area where that reverence and closeness to God is important. The closer you are to Him, the quicker you repent. In fact, you're going to see the unrighteousness trying to come. Let me tell you, the closer you are to the Lord, you'll see that fiery dart coming. You'll sense it in your spirit because your senses are now sensitive to the things of God. You go, it's coming. I see it coming. You'll be able to hear it. You'll be able to see it. And you'll be able to sense it. And you'll have dominion over it as long as you take dominion. Praise God. So not only sowing abundantly and reaping abundantly and sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, it's not only associated with finances. It's associated with sowing in the Spirit. Let me share with you. Witnessing. Do you witness out there abundantly or sparingly? Do you, what about putting something in, like anything that you put into something? How about your studies? Knowing the word. Do you put it in sparingly or abundantly? At your work. Do you put it in abundantly or sparingly? Are you one that when the boss comes around, you're out working, and as soon as he leaves, you don't do nothing? Hello? See, the Bible says do it all unto the Lord. The problem is people are not sowing to the Lord. They're sowing to themselves. That's called covetousness. And that is sin. See, many people are out there doing stuff to build their own stuff. Well, I need a house. I need this. I need that. My family needs this. I need that. Wrong. When you labor unto the Lord, everything will be provided. He has come to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think, and bring you life abundantly. But it is stolen because of people's wrong attitude. Their attitude is to sow and labor unto self instead of labor unto the Lord. And when you change that attitude, you will not be concerned about how much you're making. You won't be concerned about all these other things. Why? Because if you're truly laboring unto the Lord, you know that the Lord's going to make way no matter what the finances are in front of you. See, but there's that attitude of covetousness. In other words, mine. Some people won't give up things. Some people won't give up their children. They won't give up their wives, their husbands. They won't give up their jobs. In other words, turn it over to God. Because see, covetousness always has an arena of the fear of losing something. And then what you want is control over it. And too many times people are afraid of losing control. And it's about time people lost control. And let God take control, not you. Because we just mess everything up. So we must maintain an attitude. And this attitude is to labor unto the Lord, not unto yourself. When you worship, don't just worship to get something. Don't be just a receiver. Be a giver. Jesus came to give. God gave his only begotten son because he loved. Give. And again, I'm not going to pass a bucket around and tell everybody to give. Hello? It's not about finances. It's about your life. Not only your finances, but your life. Are you really laboring unto the Lord? And this is what we must ask ourselves every day. Everything that we do, business-wise. You know, so many people say, well, I don't put business in with ministry. Well, you're an idiot. Because your business is an opportunity for ministry. When you go to the labor pool, you're not going there to make money. You're going there to be a witness. You labor unto the Lord at your job and God will make a way. The problem is too many people are caught up in covetousness. Mine. Mine. When something is free for people, they go take because of what's for me. But they don't think about what's for somebody else. See, if you keep that attitude of laboring unto the Lord, you'll be a giver. And if you become a giver, you'll be a receiver. What? From God. He'll bless your socks off. I'm telling you, he'll make a way that seems to be impossible in every other way. He makes a way of escape when you think you're going to get... There's just... Man, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, if you're really laboring unto the Lord, you don't have to figure out how to do it. You're going to watch God do it. Praise God. Go to Malachi 3. So we must maintain an attitude of laboring unto the Lord. This is called a righteous attitude. It's associated, we talked about righteous decisions. Well, you're not going to make a righteous decision without a righteous attitude. Malachi 3. Malachi 3 and verse something. I'm sure you all know it by now. How about 8? Let's go right to it. Would you read it with me? Will a man rob God? Oh, hallelujah. Will a man rob God? You betcha. He robs him daily. Why? Because he doesn't labor onto him. He labors onto himself. By laboring onto yourself, you rob God. Amen. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, he says. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Duh. People make the excuse, oh, Lord, I haven't robbed you in any way. Their pockets change, are falling out, you know, they haven't paid tithes in 2 months. And then those who are paid in tithes, they're robbing God another way. Why? Because they're laboring on themselves. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Hello. Now let me share with you. The enemy is all, when you sow to the flesh, you bring a curse. The only way the devil can access you is with a legal document. And that legal document is called a curse. Do you understand? That legal document is a curse. Blessed is the man who rejects the counsel of the ungodly, and cursed is the man who receives it. So when you take heed to the voice of the stranger, what's he trying to do? He's trying to bring a curse on you. How is he going to do that? By getting you to sow in the flesh or become covetousness. Does everybody get this? See, so when you do this, you bring a curse on you. Now the devil has this legal document that says, I have a legal right to come steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go a little further. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me. Oh, I love this. Try me. In other words, the Lord says, come on, test me out here. Check me out. Test me. Try me. And see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room even enough to receive it. Now, the problem is people don't try. Or when they do try, they lose heart. And the blessing never, and it's when it's coming, they do something else. They lose heart. You understand that? And then the blessing gets diverted, gets stolen. You know, there's one thing that the Lord has shared with me. Don't be a man pleaser. Our job and your job is to declare the truth. This is not about a soulish ministry. It's about the spirit of life that brings life. Well, you cannot get caught up in the soul. I share with some people, and especially about tithes and offering. Listen, don't go around telling people you know Jesus when you're not submitting to the Lord yourself. You bring a curse on yourself. I've had people tell me, yes, I have radio ministry, I write books, I do all this stuff, and they don't tithe. And then when I rebuke them, they leave. Too bad. They're trying to find a church that will agree with them. Go ahead. I can't tell you how many people have left because they don't tithe. And that's all it is. It's God's requirement. And it's not that God is trying to take your money. First of all, it's not yours anyways. He could take it all if he wanted, you know. But it's not ours. The problem is because people labor onto themselves. Even in ministries, people labor onto themselves. And that brings a curse. Do you all understand this? When you labor onto yourself, you will bring a curse. Why? Because you sow in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Does everybody get this? This is so important. So we must maintain a good, a righteous attitude. And that attitude is to labor onto the Lord in everything. He says, give me of your first fruits. It's amazing. People get return checks, tax returns, and they don't tithe them. They get blessed with stuff and they don't tithe on them because they lose sight. Why? Because the enemy dulls them so that he can cause them. See, disobedience sows to the flesh. Then what does he do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because they've lost the attitude of laboring unto the Lord. They begin to labor unto themselves. Let me share this with you. You got something going on according to God. You made a vow to do something, right? And money comes in and you don't fulfill that vow, but you buy something for yourself or for somebody else. You just brought a curse on you. Why? Because that vow comes first. That vow comes first, so you'll never earn the trust of God. You made that vow before God, you better get that done. I don't care if you don't eat for 2 days. Some of y'all need to fast anyways. Hallelujah. Are you hearing? Do you want God to bless you or not? Or do you want the devil to continue to steal, kill, and destroy? Well, that's what he does. He steals, kills, and destroys because people are laboring onto themselves instead of onto the Lord. Man, you make a covenant and vow with God, you better put that first. Like I said, I don't care if you can't eat for 2 days. God will bless you. Why? Because you'll show him. Everything that you do with God, he always says, show me. We talked about this Friday night, didn't we? Show me. When I said, Lord, help me. Show me. Show me how bad you want it. Show me. When I see you get to that point that you're showing me, I'll release it to you. Show me. That's why he says, don't lose heart. Why? Because you got to show him. Everything comes with a price. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Do a couple of hiccups in reverse and you'll get there. How many of y'all want the truth?
Amen.
Amen. It's the truth that makes us free. It's not assumption. Truth. Habakkuk 2, verse 9. Would you read it with me? Woe. Let me tell you, when you see woe, you better duck. When you see woe, you better woo. Woe to him who what? Covets evil gain for his house. Oh, glory. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. Let me say that one more time. Woe to him who covets evil gain to his house. That he may set his nest on high. Ooh, let me build my nest. That he may be delivered from the power of disaster. It's amazing how people will lie, steal, destroy, manipulate to get something. To get something. And you must be careful. Because if you're at a job that tries to cause you to lie, you're sowing in the flesh. And everything you sow will eventually be taken. You'll be reaping. Because all the money that due to you will be stolen. especially telemarketers and stuff like that, you better be right before God. You better be telling truth. Because if you're not telling truth, woe is you. Do you understand this? Why? Because you're supposed to be come out from among the world. It's amazing how people are going to telemarketing places and they're making all kinds of money. And they'll tithe, but you know what? They never end up with nothing because it's constantly being stolen. He'll come to steal, kill, and destroy. You're to be a person that represents truth. Believe me, when you begin to stand on that, God will honor it. He will what? He'll honor it. He said, you give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples and sin against your soul. Wow. And you sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the timbers will answer it. He's saying even the house that you're building is going to begin to cry out. Stop! Stop! They know it's going to crumble. They know it's going to crumble. Are y'all all right? You got real quiet here for a second. Woe to him who covets. Luke 12. Verse 15, Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Wow. It's amazing that even in the body of Christ how there's this spiritual competition. More material I have, I'm closer to God. Believe me, there are people that are ministering on TV that I will not even listen to. Divorcing their spouses, caught in fornication, but yet they have millions and millions of dollars. I forgive them, but I won't listen to them. I will not let anything come from their mouth into me. Are you hearing this? And it's amazing how people follow fame instead of follow truth. And this is what's going to begin to happen more and more. You're going to see it shake more and more. I'm telling you, this flood is going to increase all the way till June. Places are going to crumble. More things are going to be exposed. Take heed, he said. Listen. Listen. Be attentive. Be attentive. Listen. Watch. Discern. And come out from among them and be separate. Proverbs 11. Good, 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 and better. Why settle for good when you can have the best? Proverbs 11. In verse 24, I believe. Would you read it with me? There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. In other words, he's withholding, he's coveting, he's not giving all. He's not giving all. What do you mean by giving all? Giving all of yourself. When you gave yourself to the Lord, he wanted all of you, not a part of you. Not just on Sundays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Fridays. Every day. And not just in the morning, all day long. Giving yourself, not holding anything back from him. Nothing. Why? Because anything that you hold back, you'll sow in the flesh. Do you understand that the devil's not stupid? He knows exactly how to trip people up to get them to sow in the flesh. Then what happens? Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Steal, kill, and destroy. Go to Acts chapter 5. Here are two people that were holding back. And we know what the end result with them was. Acts chapter 5. Are y'all there? Y'all okay? Start at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? Now, understand this. That's what they do is be honest. Well, we sold the land for $5,000, but we want to give $2,500 to the body. Okay, cool. Or we just want to do a tithe and an offering. Okay, but don't lie. Because if you lie, you're going to bring a curse, aren't you? Then the devil's going to come and steal it all. And you won't have nothing. So he says, don't hold back. Do not hold back. Don't lie. Don't lie. Oh, let's go a little further. Let's see what happens. In verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? While, in other words, wasn't this in your own strength? Was this not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In your what? Own control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? You have not lied to men, but to who?
God.
To God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. Hello, goodbye. Right? So we know what the end result is death. It's called destroy, destruction. When you labor onto you, you'll always end up destroyed, especially if you're claiming to be a believer. Now, maybe an unbeliever will have to wait all the way till he gets before God to be destroyed. You know what I'm saying? Judgment day. But God came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Go to Ephesians 5. You hold back, you die. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, and offering them a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Are you a sweet smelling aroma? Or does your aroma cause people to pass out? If you're a sweet smelling aroma unto the Lord, or does the Lord walk around you with a, what do you call this, a paper clip? A clothes hanger clip? In other words, he says, man, don't get near me! You need some Holy Ghost deodorant repentance. In verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So what is he saying? He says, your fruits are either going to stink or they're going to be a sweet-smelling aroma. Do you understand? Don't even let it be named among you that you've cheated someone, that you manipulated someone. Don't let it even be named among you that you held back something from God. Let me tell you hold back something from God, he'll hold it back from you. This is a ploy of the enemy. Why? We must maintain a righteous attitude. And what is that attitude? Labor unto the Lord in everything you do. Everything you do. Colossians 3. You know what? Let me share something that will give you a little insight. If you're spending your money before you get it, you're laboring it unto you. Well, this is what I plan on doing with the money before you even get it. You are laboring on to you, and you are sowing in the flesh, and that money that you're holding back is going to be gone anyways, because the devil's going to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Is everybody here? And you all got real quiet, let me tell you. Yes, I plan on doing this. I plan on doing that. You know, the devil has people dream about if they ever won the lottery, what they would do. Oh, I would give this, and I would do that. Right, as soon as the person gets it, poof. Never spend your money before you get it. Find out what God wants you to do with it. Do you understand? What do you want me to do with this money, Lord, since it's yours? Well, you gave me the talent to labor, but I'm not laboring for me. I'm laboring for you. It's a righteous attitude. But there's an unrighteous attitude that says, let's see, 9% is mine, or what is it? 90% is mine, and 10% is yours. Okay, that's cool. Now, let's see, I can do whatever I want with my 90%. Wrong attitude. You don't own anything. It's all his. What do you want me to do with this, Lord? What do you want me to do? Do you understand? We must stop building our own house and allow the Lord to build his house. And he's going to use you to build his house. So when you begin to spend money before you even have it, you are sowing in the flesh, and anything that you get is going to eventually be taken. Colossians chapter 3. We got to know this stuff, don't we? Amen. You got to outwit the enemy. The Bible says the serpent is the most cunning beast God made. But we have the Holy Ghost, and we know all things, and we can do all things through the anointing. We're to be trusting him, surrendering to him, really laboring unto him. Are you really sold out yet? You got to ask yourself this. Am I really sold out? If he said, give this away, would I give it away? I mean, everybody goes, yeah, until it happens. Well, you take care of God's things, he takes care of your things. When you put yourself before God and anything of yours before God, you have sowed in the flesh, and you will reap corruption. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. We're to be putting off all of these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now what you get today, teach it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. You know, I have seen, and this is wild, and I was like, I struggled with this one time. I was at a place, and I'm not going to mention any names or whatever, but I saw a minister, very known minister, walk out. And when he walked out, I saw a shadow that came off of him of a money sign. And I thought, man, and I knew it wasn't right. It wasn't a money sign of prosperity. It was a money sign of greed. And this was years and years ago. And then certain things eventually began to happen. I saw a shadow from him of a money sign. And he had the double line of the money. And I thought, wow. And about, I don't know, about a year later or something, one day I met him somewhere. And just to say whatever. And I sensed that attitude, that prideful attitude. And shortly after that, his house was destroyed and so forth. But I'm not going to go anywhere because I don't want anybody to know what, who's what. But anyways, I'm just letting you know that when I saw that, it grieved me and it kind of almost shook me, because at first it was a man I respected. But then when I saw that, I thought, wow, this isn't right. Why would you show me this? And I began to pray for him, but apparently the greed just overtook more and more and more. In verse 6, now godliness, when contentment, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy as long as your wealth is not yours. It's his. God wants us to prosper. He wants us. Listen, if everybody in the body of Christ was wealthy, the word of God would be everywhere, and we'd probably be home by now. Because the Bible says when the kingdom of God is preached to the whole world, we're going home. I pray everybody gets wealthy so we can get out of here. In verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Say it again. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Listen, there are people that started out right, began to get, God started blessing them with work and all kinds of stuff. They began to labor under themselves. Labor on themselves instead of laboring under the Lord. The more money they got, the worse they got. They began to try to fulfill their families, try to fulfill self with materialism. And it didn't work. Eventually, they went back right into the world and lost everything. And it happens every time. You cannot escape the snare of the enemy. You must turn around and sever yourself from them. Do you understand? You can't change locations and change jobs. You must turn around and fight the devil face to face. Nobody outruns the devil. You fight him and sever him and take dominion. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Praise God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you put money before God, hello? Like I said, there's nothing wrong with having money as long as you realize it's not yours. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yes, I worked so hard for this. Look what I built. Hallelujah. Look what the devil's about to steal. Hallelujah. You know, God's got a wonderful way of humbling us, you know? Did you ever see how people react when they're short $2 on their check? Hits it. Man, they freak. Oh, man. They freak out. I mean, I get, let me tell you, we get tithes checks sometimes. It's $10.45. I want to go to that person's house and go, boom. How stupid can you be and still breathe? I mean, you know, right, precise 10%. $10.45. You know, they're laboring onto themselves. And God will not bless that tithe. Do you hear me? God will not bless that tithe. Well, why won't God bless that tithe? Because he's holding back. God expected it at over 55 cents. Mean that 55 cents can change everything? Yes, it can expose your heart. You understand this? You know, The Bible says tithes and offerings. Put in an extra $5. See, tithing is supposed to protect your money. Offering increases it. You know? And there are times when the Lord says to me, give it all. But when you learn about God, when you learn about what He's trying to do, He's trying to get something to you. I'll never forget the first time the Lord shared with me, I want you to go to this place and write a $1,000 check and give it to this ministry, this minister. And it was a breakfast thing. Of course, we only had like $1,000 in our account. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know this guy's address. He said, go to the breakfast thing and give it to him. So I brought the check and I made myself be a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. I'm going to trust you, Lord. It's your money anyways. I went to this breakfast and the guy didn't show up till right at the end. The breakfast was about over. He walks in. And I'm thinking, here, I thought I was getting away with escape, you know. Thought, hallelujah, I didn't hear God. Oh, all right. No. And then he walks in. And the Lord said, there he is. I said, oh. So I called him over and I wrote the check and gave it to him. I said, God bless, whatever. And I left. It was on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came over, knocked on my door and gave us $4,700. Of course, I said after that, where else do you want me to give it? Man, send me anywhere you want. You want the whole thing? Let's empty the account. Praise God. See, but you must hear Rhema. That's where he says, sow in the good soil. Some of us haven't been sown in the good soil. We've sowed in all kinds of places out there. Religious organizations. UNICEF. Cancer this. And man, you need to sow in the kingdom of God. People are out there buying stocks instead of sowing in the kingdom. You want a great stock? Sow in the kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Come on, read it with me. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are you in the last days? Well, if you don't know about it, you're in the last days. And perilous times are here. Things are not getting easier, are they? They're getting harder. They're supposed to. See, you're going to come to a point where you're going to really have to trust God. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. That's the first thing. Lovers of who? Themselves. Men will be lovers of themselves. They will labor unto themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Traitors! Headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. That's incredible what happens sometimes. And how people use God instead of, and then they claim they know God. And they only use Him to get, or to try, have fame, or they boast in how God uses them. But yet, behind closed doors, they're not right with God. The Bible says, from such people, turn away. Do you understand it? From such people, what? Turn away. But see, people are chasing fame instead of truth. Fame instead of truth. Hebrews 13. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 5. Yeah, let this penetrate. Let it get in. Let it kill the corruptible seeds, because it's choking the righteous seed. We ask the Lord to change us. Well, He will, if you'll let Him. But you must come out from among them. Them who? Those, according to the worldly ways. Those who labor unto themselves. Verse 5. Let your conduct be what? Without covetousness. Would you repeat that, please? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. So what are you worried about? Fear not. I want to close it. John 6. John 6. In verse 26 and 27. I feel the river flowing. It's a lot of logs floating too. A lot of stuff coming up down the river that's just flowing down there. It's going over the waterfalls, man. Let go! Let it flow! You know? Hallelujah! It's brand new today. Okay, so you got convicted. Praise God. You repent and get up. Let the stuff flow. Don't pick it up now. Don't pick the stuff. Got all those labels on it. Greed, self, pride, labor to self, selfish ambitions, my house, my family, my job, my children, my. You and I don't own nothing. As long as we maintain as stewards to Him, all things have been given to us. But they're still not yours. We're just in charge of it. Even the gifts of the Spirit. It says the gifts of the Spirit, not the gifts of man. They're not ours. They're his. He can use a donkey. He's looking for anyone to yield to what he wants done. But you see, anybody can yield to the things of God, but they must walk righteous with God. Because that's what the Bible says, that many will come before me and say, Lord, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And he's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. See, they yielded to everything else to bring them fame, but the will of God to humble them. John 6, verse 26 and 27, where did you read it with me? And Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, you're coming because you want something. He said, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So we want to labor for the things that bring eternal life, not to the things that bring separation. We must come to a point where we're laboring unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. Let it penetrate, let it flow, and get rid of the garbage. So Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace of everything we've done in that area of covetousness, any area where there was an unrighteous attitude and not walking in a righteous attitude of laboring unto you. Lord, forgive us for every time that we do something, we think about what's best for us instead of what's best for you. Lord, we commit to you these ways. We commit to you our works. We acknowledge you. We ask you continue to establish our thoughts and establish our steps as we prepare to have one with you in communion. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.